Artist Ivan Calderon earned his degree in painting and drawing here at UTEP and has since exhibited work nationally in New York and Texas. He has an active presence here in El Paso and in our art scene. He's been known to be a teaching artist at the El Paso Museum of Art, and he's also taught at Creative Kids. Today, my guest is artist Ivan Calderon. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Hi, Marina. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to finally talk to you. I follow you on Instagram, and we'll get to that in a second because I think what you do is super cool, and I don't know that you paint to sell your paintings on Instagram. It just kind of happens. but we'll get there in a little bit. What I want to start with is we've had a strange year, and how has that year been for you creatively as an artist, as a painter, as a creative person?
Well, first and foremost, you know, this pandemic really affected me directly. Like, I lost my mother to COVID. So
sorry.
I was already her caretaker because she suffered from dementia. So that's, you know, it's one of those situations where what can be seen as a curse can also be a blessing. So I had to quit my jobs and focus being her caretaker for the last 5 years. And that's where I dedicated myself to just being an artist. And so I already had an instilled work schedule. You know, I would take care of my mom from the morning to the evening, and then the rest of the evening I'd stay up till how long my body could last, just working on whatever I could. And that led to so many different opportunities, you know, working at the museum, the commissions that you've seen posted online. And, you know, that's really, you know, I credit her now, like, for what's happening in my life currently. Is I credit her.
I've seen you and your mom before because she was always your number one fan, and whatever it is that you were digging to creatively, she was right there. Was she a creative person too?
Yeah, that's the thing about my family. Like, both my parents used to always argue about like where my creativity came from, but my mother loved to draw. When I was very young, people always treated me as a child prodigy because she would sit me down in the evenings to draw because I always had this impulse of like art. I've been drawing since I was three, and she really is one of the major forces and influences in my life of why I'm an artist now.
And who's the other creative person that's fighting for your for credit for your creativity? Is that your dad?
On my father's side, yes. I have older half-siblings, and they were also great influences in terms of drawing ability. My older brothers had really great hand drafting skills. They just, you know, didn't pursue it because of life choices, and, you know, they just fell out of favor with it. But they put me on to like heavy metal album covers, and that's like kind of also what I got grew. So like my world view of art at an early age was like super, super widespread. I got in trouble in kindergarten for drawing like Iron Maiden album covers, you know, like
that's awesome. So as somebody who is as creative as you are, how did you decide, okay, I'm going to focus in on drawing and painting. This is going to be my thing.
So again, you know, I've been drawing since a very young age. Like, that's the one medium and that's available to all, everyone, you know, pen, paper, pencil, like that medium is just very, very available. My parents always did a great job of, you know, trying to get me, they recognize my talents. They always, you know, sacrificed so much to get me into classes with Creative Kids or whatever it was. But when I went to UTEP, I was drawn to two professors, you know, everyone who probably comes on here that's a alumni will always speak about Terry Bauer. Mm-hmm. Terry Bauer for me is that mentor, and if she's listening, you know, I totally thank her because she really was that art teacher, that mentor that just really does like wonders for your skill, for everything. When I was going back, you know, she was that one art teacher that challenged me, not just with education, but, you know, at the skill same, you know, implementing technique, learning, but really opening your horizons. And I really credit her for where I am right now.
Yeah, no. And it seems like, I mean, you're doing that in your work, playing with like automotive paint. I see you painting with oils, painting with acrylics. Is that part of what you learned through her? Or is that just, I mean, it seems like you're a curious person anyway.
As much as people say that I'm talented, I still consider myself a student of the game. I'm still learning every day. But that looking for all kinds of medium, I really also credit, you know, Stephen Engel. I spent so many years as a creative kid and then as an instructor. And we worked on so many projects. Like, I wish they had like a reality show back then, because it's like, it was like very much similar. Like, okay, what's this week's project? And it was always that. And my parents were taking me there for like Wednesday evenings, all day Saturday. I just spent so much time with Andrea and Stephen, and I've learned so much from them. Steven is like Icarus. He has a amazing idea, energy, and Andrea is like that gravity that keeps him, you know, that's what keeps the program growing. Like they both complement each other so well. And, you know, I love them so much. I consider them family, and they were also highly influenced in how much they utilize technology, just so much. And El Paso has seen it in all the projects they've installed here.
Oh yeah, it's incredible to see their journey. And I mean, I know you're close to them. I'm close to them too, so I know exactly what you're talking about. Where like Steven's just out there, and Drea's like, okay, but we need a plan, and here's how we do this. Okay, so now let's talk about Instagram, because you share your work on Instagram, and I don't think you're doing it to sell it. It just it's a byproduct of sharing it. Talk to us about that experience and what that's like actually. Selling your work from one post.
It's really, for me, I think it's really showing how like the gallery concept is almost kind of outdated now. Everyone's been doing the virtual exhibitions, and I think this is really just pushing where we are going to go as like society when it comes to art viewing. So I work on pieces just for my own sake, sometimes commissions because people see my work and they really love it and they want something from me. But for the most part, I just paint for myself and for a series that I want to end up showing somewhere. I'm currently wanting to apply to several art residencies, and I want to have like a good body of work that's representation of what I'm doing. But for the most part, it's just whatever comes to me, like in terms of so many of the different projects I work on, I'll show like very few in progress pics, and then I post up the completed piece, and then people are just like, I want it. Is it for sale? I'm like, sure. And they buy it. I mean, the fastest I've ever sold a painting was like something under an hour, and it was like amazing. And again, like I credit the amazing luck that I have and the people that like look over me and just everybody else that supports me. And I mean, I don't even utilize my Instagram like everybody else. Like I think everybody caters to like followers and really trying to like hustle that side. And like I use it strictly as a virtual portfolio because one, everybody has Instagram, everyone's browsing it. So when I meet people, in-person networking is probably still major to networking. And they ask me, like, well, what are you doing? Well, first and foremost, I'm an artist. And they're like, well, what do you do? And it's like, well, you can follow me on Instagram. And that's, they see and they're like, oh my God, I need to get something from you. And yeah, it's crazy.
Do you, because I can't tell from Instagram how large your pieces are. Is there a size that you like to work in, or do you kind of vary them, or what's your kind of go-to?
It's incredibly varied. I mean, when I was in undergraduate, I used to make small drawings that you had to like utilize under a magnifying glass. I challenged myself. I really loved like the safety net that undergrad was, where you're supposed to experiment, grow, and try everything. And now my background, I was in sixth grade painting murals with seniors in high school with from the Vaya program with Miss Natavila. She had a very strong art program back then. I don't know if she's still around, but I was always drawing and painting like above my age level or whatever. You can't even quantify, you know, art skill in that way, like reading or something. But I was always painting with people much older than me. And they're always like, yeah, you're a talented kid, like everything. So I always wanted to just continue working harder. And I'm always a very harsh critic to myself. And that's truly pretty much what pushes me to get better. But you can see behind me, like that's actually a painting behind me. That's not like a tapestry or a wall thing. That's a painting. And that's 8 feet by 5 feet.
Oh, so you're not messing around with that one.
No.
How often do you paint? You said you have a schedule. What does your day look like?
So I'm not just an artist, but also work in government. I'm the constituent services director for State Rep. Mary Gonzalez, who's an amazing person. And, you know, all my background work in advocacy and everything that I've done for charities here as an artist, like that kind of led to this job. But I work pretty much 8 to 5 from home. And then from there, like I love to get a bit of exercise. So I take like a bike ride. And then from there, I just brainstorm, think of everything that I can do. And then I work throughout the evening on different pieces. Like right now, like we're in my studio and you see that I already have like my painting set up. So the moment I have like that next wind is when I start working on different things or I'm planning, I'm reading, doing a lot of research, you know, doing my work through the museum too. Like a lot of it is a lot of research and experimentation too.
Are you missing the museums? I mean, I know they're opening. We just got the news that they're opening, but what does that mean for the guest teachers and people like you?
I love, like, I go to the museum and look at it differently, I think, from a different perspective as an artist, because, like, I love to break down the different ways that all the artists painted, you know, the local artists, you know, Tom Lee's landscapes are amazing. That's one of the things that sells the most with me is like landscapes. So I really look at like his compositions, like his use of oil paint, like the texture. He had a very painterly, like the palette knife technique. But that's like the way I look at the collection. And then of course, like I study it because I have to talk about it. Like I love working with the docents. The docents are amazing ladies. I really miss all that, like just the interaction. Like I used to do all the studio tours. So I just love giving people talks about the work and the collection itself because our collection is amazing, like what we have. Sometimes people are like really sleeping on what's in the Crest collection and what comes here. You know, museum staff does an amazing job, the curators, everybody installs it. And I'm thankful that they trust me enough to be able to help install the art shows, work with the curatorial staff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it crushes my heart when people come in and like ask for to use the bathrooms, and then they're like, I've never been to the museum. And they're full grown adults here in El Paso, you know.
It's such a cool place. Oh man. Well, you know, you're one of the few, lucky few that grew up with his talents embraced, you know, because I know we talk to a lot of artists and yes, your parents are like, great, you're good at drawing, but can you become a teacher or, you know, just do something that's not art because they're afraid for you, but you had the opposite happen. So what do you say to somebody who is considering becoming an artist, who is talented, who wants to do this for a living?
Well, I always give talks to high school groups, to students K through 12, and I say, like, you know, I think the having one career is kind of like an antiquated view of society now, like, or as an employment. And I think now everybody's going to have multiple jobs, multiple hobbies. And I tell them, like, just because you go to school to be an artist doesn't mean you can't be like an engineer, like, or vice versa. I think if you want to get something secure, you're not too sure about it. There's a lot of stuff that blends over to it with technology now. You know, artists have been utilizing the forefront of technology since like the beginning of creation. And I tell them, like, get something secure like architecture or graphic design, all those things. If you need to satisfy your creativity, there are outlets that are, you know, stable with the job, but you can always be an artist anytime.
That's a true statement. True statement. With that, thank you, Ivan, for coming to State of the Arts. Today, my guest has been artist and painter Ivan Calderon. Thank you for coming to State of the Arts.